This is Jane Knapp and Radomir Zelensky recording for the Council of Jewish Women. We are with Mrs. Spire in her lovely home on Whiteman Street. It is snowing. It's the most beautiful setting for an interview with a lady who has contributed a great deal to our city. Mrs. Spire, are you originally from Pittsburgh?
My mother and I were both born. My grandparents on my mother's side were married here by the first rabbi of Rodeshover, whom I think his name was Armhold, I think was Judge Cohn's father-in-law, who was the one before that. The first rabbi, when they formed that little group,
that was on the north
side. My grandparents were married here. A silver big tureen and spoon with them on their 25th anniversary, given them by some of the early families here. And they were married 25 years, and that's dated 1876. So they were married here by the first rabbi of Rodeshover. And my mother was born here, and so was I.
Your father? Was
on my father's side, my grandfather came in 1866. I think it was 1866. I have a document up there that I think that dates 1866. He came to this country from Russia, and then he brought he's quite young when he came, and he brought his family in.
Mrs. Spire, what was your maiden name?
My mother's name is Effenheimer.
And your now this would they were married in the original Rodeshulam temple, which was then in Old Allegheny?
My father was always a member of Old Rodeshulam from the time he was 21.
And he was one of the original members of the congregation.
That's not original. My grandfather Oppenheimer was one of the originals.
Oh, there we go. Okay. Did you have any brothers and sisters?
I have brothers. He just died a few months ago.
And you were educated here in Pittsburgh?
At Thurston's Preparatory School. That's now Winchester does.
Was art always your field? Was that something that you always loved?
What?
Art.
Well, I always loved it, but I took music in those days because everybody took that was part of the ladies' education.
And art also?
No, I started art of my own accord when I went away to school.
I see. And where did you go to school?
I went to Virginia College of Morristown.
Your family always lived in Old Allegheny?
They lived in Allegheny until 70 years ago when my father built a house on Barton Street.
And the whole family moved there?
What do you mean, the whole family?
Well, I mean, that was you and your brother and your mother and father.
My mother.
And you lived there until you moved here?
No. I lived there till I was married. Then my father died about 10 years later, and I moved into my family's house. And I was there until 12 years ago when I built this house. It was too big a house for me to be in by myself.
Ms. Barb, you have how many children?
I have five.
Five.
But I don't want to advertise my children.
All right.
Now you shut that off and I'll tell you about them. And they all went to college and they all took up a career in college.
Mm-hmm. All through public schools.
They all followed their band in college. I mean, what they wanted to do, what they wanted to specialize in.
Mrs. Spire, are you a great traveler?
Yes. And we always took our children from the time they were 10 and 12 years old to Europe in the summer. We supplemented the public school system with taking them to Europe. And we took them frequently to Europe. And we also had a great deal of association with our children because we took them to Florida with us in the winter. And in the summer, we used to be up around the river. I don't want you to mention this. We had a place on Falling Water.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not necessarily the book. I don't want that book. We were up there for at least 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a farm up there, and we've got even the grandchildren that are interested in going to it.
And you present, you have.
There was a great deal of companionship with our children in there.
And you feel that the
and
travel.
I didn't do a lot of public work and get my name on all kinds of committees where I did nothing but sit and listen to everything cut and dry.
Mm-hmm.
I got tired of that.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever have a pet charity or a pet, one thing that maybe you were interested in?
Well, we were always particularly interested in anything pertaining to the blind. But I don't see any point of putting that. I don't want that. My son had to have an accident when he was 9.
Nice.
A museum. And my reading and everything. I'm very much interested in all this.
What was your reaction to the new Scaife Gallery?
I think it's a beautiful gallery. And I think Mr. Arcus has shown great judgment in what he's what he has added to it. The Scaife system. 5 children could not be a concentrated thing because we had a very close family life and I didn't go running out all the time to meetings.
Mm-hmm. But at that
and
time,
my
you...
husband did not also go out, I mean, to a lot of different things, which is fine. You have to have people do those things.
Of course.
He spent a lot of time with our children.
But you, at that time, did artwork of your own.
Oh, whenever I had time, I first painted, and then I gave up painting because I was much more interested in the three-dimensional. Much more.
Mm-hmm.
I like the three-dimensional working in stone. I don't do anything but work in stone.
What fostered your interest in stone particularly?
Hmm?
What would have fostered your interest in stone as opposed to wood? Metal?
I never tried wood. I just like stone.
Have you had any instruction?
The main instruction I had was from Jose de Crep. JOSEDECREFT.
EEFT.
I considered him a real inspiration.
Was he?
He did that figure there. He's a very well-known artist.
And from where? Where was this instruction? Here in the city? Here in Pittsburgh? Or in
school? He spent several winters down in Florida. And that's when I took instruction from him. And all the rest of the time I worked by myself. I didn't have any criticism. I was very much interested in shells and rhythm. Rhythm is everywhere in nature. Like the octopus has his tentacles, and the flowers have their rhythm. Everything in life, everything in nature has rhythm. And I try to get away from it, and I find myself getting nervous. But I never have a model. I do everything from out of my head.
Really?
I do nothing but play.
And Miss Byer, do you have any, are your grandchildren also interested in art? Do they do anything?
Well, some of them are, yes. It's rather interesting. I have one that studied to be a landscape architect, another that studied to be an architect, and Miss Marijuana was in, he's in the business deal, but he makes really beautiful jewelry. He's interested in jewelry.
Is there, was there anyone else in your family who was artistic?
You mean as a fat fan?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I think, I don't think that's worth putting down. I mean, no point in putting down. My father, I think, would have been primarily an architect if he hadn't had to go into business.
Well, that's important.
And he always bought pictures. We never had anything but oriental rugs in that house. In the days when everybody had wall-to-wall carpeting.
Mm-hmm.
And I never liked wall-to-wall carpeting. I suppose that was the influence. And we always had paintings, but none of them turned out to be these great paintings.
Well, wouldn't you say what pleases you is valuable?
I think I had a very good environment, and I had a very happy life and relationship with, from the beginning to the end. I don't think you should put that.
No, no. All right. Ms. Spark, can you draw almost a line between the way you live now, and the way your children live now, and the way you lived as a bride? In other words, the easier way of life.
We always had an easy way of life.
I really don't think that's what I meant. The training that you got, the training that the children get today, the training that you gave your children, do you think it's all on a similar vein, in a similar vein?
Yes, I think it was on a very similar area, because I went to the best private school here, prep school, which was Winchester. The children went to public school because their father approved of it.
Mm-hmm.
But they all went to college, and some of them took postgraduate degrees. Some of the grandchildren took postgraduate degrees. We lived much the same way. We lived the same way in Allegheny as all those other Jewish families lived. We had the Concordia Club. My grandfather was one of the founders of the Concordia Club. Not, that's a great honor. Father was one of the founders of the Country Club. I mean, we were always, my husband was joined when he was 21 to the Country Club. And the Concordia, I mean, we always lived this a very pleasant life. I mean, we weren't exaggerated in our living.
Do you see a difference in the morals between the children today and the children of yesterday?
Well, there's no question about that. I go along with it.
Mrs. Spire, how many grandchildren have you?
Nine.
Nine grandchildren. How old is the oldest?
The oldest is 33.
And the youngest?
The youngest is 22.
Well, then you must have great-grandchildren, too.
I do.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
How many great-grandchildren?
I have to count how many. I have one granddaughter.
Five great grand. Oh, you have nine grandchildren and
five
great grandchildren.
I don't know where that's interesting.
Oh, well, I think it's
interesting.
Very interesting.
You know, okay. I think possibly you are so accustomed to yourself that you don't realize that you're an interesting lady.
I don't know what makes one an interesting lady.
I guess just being yourself.
Well, I think
I am very interested in reading all kinds of art books and biographies and artists and so forth, and I'm critically interested in all kinds of civilization and archaeology. And I've been to Greece 15 consecutive summers, and I go to Paris every year to be with my daughter. And I think I have a fairly good life.
I think you do, too.
Well, as long as you're doing what you enjoy doing, and you certainly have a loving family around you, you must be a contented lady.
That's right. In your own artwork, have you shown and, you know, had, had showings?
I do not try to get a gallery.
I see.
I am not answered to this, ma'am. Several people have bought my pieces, my sculpture. I've shown in different places. And the Navy Museum owns one of my pieces, which they bought. And in Palm Beach, the Northern Art Gallery also owns.
Well, that's something that you can take great pride in.
Well, I have quite a few people that have bought my sculpture. They've seen it at the house, or I've shown it in exhibits.
I see. And what? When did you sell your first piece of art? I mean, the first thing that you were able to
paint.
Yes.
And I took under a man, they haven't recognized yet, but he's going to be dug up.
What was his name?
Gorson. You may have heard of Gorson, haven't you?
No.
Gorson was one of the first here that recognized the potentialities of the steel piece and the fire coming out of the furnaces in the dark and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a Jewish man, and I think he had considerable talent.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow, he's sunken into oblivion at the moment. But I think someday they're going to bring him up. And the different steel mills, quite a few bought his paintings. And he and another man had started an art students league that didn't last very long. And before I was married, for a few years I went there, and then afterwards.
Mm-hmm. And you studied with him?
And then I took painting.
Mm-hmm.
Then I did regular painting on my own, which I never was too good at. And the war came on, and I decided to be painting was useless. War work that was not advertised as the greatest war in the century.
Doesn't matter.
What did you do? You said?
Oh, I just kept whatever I could with bandages and I never took that nurse's course because I had the children.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the war was over, I had a chance to take the sculpture from here, so
Did you ever sell any paintings? Any of your paintings?
No, I never tried to sell a painting. I didn't like them all.
So then the first thing that you sold was a sculpture. And was it sold to a person or to a museum? Or?
Well, if you shut that off, I'll tell you one of the most.
Okay. Mrs. Spire, would you say then that you and your husband have full charge of raising the children, full charge of influencing them?
I don't think that's a question I can answer. I think raising children is a mutual matter.
Well, this is what I'm asking. I mean,
I think both have. I think we cooperate.
Mm-hmm. Were you ever a sports fan? Were you ever a golfer, a tennis player?
I played tennis. We had a tennis court on the ground.
Yeah.
Very poor tennis player.
Really? Yeah,
but I love to run around. My main pleasure was walking. We took walking trips in Europe, and I always walked. I loved to walk. My husband was a very good golfer.
Bob's a good golfer, too.
Bob's a good
golfer. Mm-hmm.
I never played golf. My main exercise was I just loved walking to the park, miles in the park.
Well, Europe was a marvelous place to walk, though. More so than
I knew every tree in the park, in the hollows, you know.
Well, you were always interested in nature, and that's...
I love walking. I think when you walk, you can communicate better than sitting in a room and having a conversation.
That's true. It's very true. It's very true.
We could take a walk. And perhaps.
Now my leg, my foot's bad. I had terrible feet to begin with when I was born, and I used them longer than they thought I ever could, but now I have a problem. You don't have to put that in.
Ms. Spire, when you're in, when you go down south for the winter, you take everything with you, your work.
I take my tools with me. I take what's necessary, and I work every day down there.
You have a studio down there.
You work every morning. You can't do a great many other things. Now, this isn't a bad thing, but
I'll take it out.
And Ms. Spire, you say you don't feel that it's an outstanding achievement. What would you consider to be maybe your outstanding achievement?
Achievement?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You'll have to ask somebody else that. Would somebody tell you what their outstanding achievement was?
Well,
could anybody be that egotistical?
I don't think it has to do with ego.
I do.
Do you? Oh, well, I thought maybe there was something that you had done that you thought was... maybe a little bit more so.
That you've taken exceptional pride in. No, no, no.
I have to find that out from some of my friends what they think of me.
Mrs. Spire, Your family was part of the backbone of Rose Sholem Temple.
My father was very active.
Yeah.
I have never been active in temple since Dr. Leakey died, which of course is a terrible thing. I mean, for your religion to be based on one great man. That man, there were two people that were influence on me that I feel outside of my children and my husband and my parents had a great relationship with me. And that was Dr. Levy and my sculpture teacher, Jose. I think Dr. Levy was a really unbelievable man. And anybody who was fortunate enough to be in contact with him, I think, has what I would call real religion.
And you have raised your children?
I often spoke to the children. My children, only two were confirmed because we went to Florida everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So they weren't confirmed. Mm-hmm. My children feel that they're Jewish,
mm-hmm.
but they do not go to temple or they don't belong to any synagogue.
But they're very aware of their Jewish.
They're not a family that you would call practically religious.
Mm-hmm.
But I know it sounds like out of the past to talk about Dr. Levy.
Yeah, that's what we are interested in.
Dr. Levy, he used to talk on immortality, what it was. He's immortality to me.
Mm-hmm. That's.
Has anybody else ever talked about Dr. Levy to you?
No, I've heard very little about him, except that I know that my husband's parents were.
You don't need to put that in there, but you know it's amazing. The things that turn up. Just recently, I read an article, scientific article, on some of the things that happened in Holy Land, on that area.
Mm-hmm.
He used to tell us that Moses saw the burning bush. That was the oil gushing.
Mm-hmm.
I saw this scientifically recently, but one thing I've never come across, he claimed the Dead Sea at one time could have opened at a shallow place,
mm-hmm.
and the Jewish people could have escaped, and then it came back to Jordan. And this was in this article, and a few other things you wouldn't be interested in, but really amazing to me. He claimed that when Josiah told the sun and the moon to but Joshua was right.
Joshua.
That was one of those longer days, or maybe the Aurora Borealis was out or something. I don't claim just because he used logic, but I think logic and explanation helps rather than telling about miracles.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And that's just a few little things about Dr. Lee. He knew everybody by name.
Must have been a
very
remarkable man.
I mean, he, if you have two people, you know, sometimes you have a teacher in school that's an inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
Here at my age, Dr. Lee is still an inspiration.
That's very interesting. It's
well,
true, but
do you think they forget, or do you think that they just rather take it for granted that he was a remarkable man? And
well, maybe they're not enough lived along to long enough to remember it.
Well, I'm sure that those who knew him were influenced by him tremendously. I mean, we have not interviewed that many people, you know, that knew him, but his name is certainly mentioned.
I don't mind if you put him in, because I think he's a great man.
Well, I think it's quite important to know that he was an influence on you.
I think he should be remembered.
Absolutely.
Well, this really is one of the reasons that we've come to talk to you, because there are people in the community that you recall, perhaps that no one else does, or that no one perhaps was as influenced by.
Well, you know one thing, Dr. Moody always said, you should be proud you're a Jew.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was a young girl. I never thought about Jewish or the other, although at Thurston's, there were only two or three Jewish girls, mm-hmm. but they were all treated just the same. And he used to always say, be proud you're a Jew.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the first lecture I ever heard Dr. Goldie's appear, and this is, I know he was a fine man, you know that too.
Yes.
He said, the pathos of being a Jew. I will never forget that. And how sad it was what the Jewish people had gone through, which is true.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of building up your pride in the fact that you were a Jew,
he told you how sad their background
was. I mean, to hear somebody say to you, the pathos, that was a new period in me.
You mentioned that when you went to Winchester, you were one of very few Jews, and that you were treated the same as everyone else. In your lifetime, have you felt any anti-Semitism?
I never worried about it. I know it exists,
mm-hmm.
I read about it, and I feel intense emotion.
Mm-hmm. But your own personal life, you have never run across
my
any?
My own special life. I may have felt sometimes I might have been asked somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
We all feel that, don't we?
Yes. But I wondered if you recalled any, you know, specific times when it has had an effect on you.
I think I have enough association points of radio to be with my own area and with others.
Mm-hmm.
I belong to the Women's Committee at the museum.
Mm-hmm.
I never felt anything. They all very gracious.
Have your children ever run into anything of this sort? Any discrimination, that sort of thing? I mean, important enough for them to talk about?
No.
Because as you say, you run into
something. I think all young people and my children at that age went except against rats and similarities, you know. I'm scared Greeny got something on there that I didn't want publicized.
But
you know, my daughter's not filming. When I see all these belligerent women ready to fire guns off at people, my daughter's claim that I haven't felt the need for this. But I don't know about that. But anyhow, some of my friends marched, you know, in the parade for women's suffrage, and I never took part.
Do your daughters feel a need for this sort of thing?
Oh, my daughter. But I don't want any opinion about it, or really about my feeling about
any personal opinions about it.
Personal.
All right. Well, they will be deleted.
Because I don't think this is an interview based on that.
It's not.
I think it's mainly an interview based on the background, and all our lives have been spent in Pittsburgh, and I love Pittsburgh. Every time I come through the tapes and see the Three Rivers, I'm thrilled.
It's a very awe-inspiring sight.
I think Pittsburgh's absolutely a wonderful city, as far as I'm concerned.
Your old homestead in Allegheny, is that still standing?
Hmm?
Your old home in Allegheny, where you originally lived, is that still standing, or has that gone into the redevelopment area?
I didn't hear you.
Where you used to live in Allegheny, on the north side, is that area still intact?
I haven't been over there for a long time.
I just wondered if it was still standing, or if it
Everything's been so changed that I can't find my way in Allegheny.